Konnichiwa. Hello. Kumusta? Welcome to Where You're From, a history and comedy podcast by husband and wife team Hitomi and Max. I'm Hitomi. I'm from the Philippines, but I've got Japanese in me and Chinese.
And also a Brit.
And we have a Brit.
In you.
No!
Sometimes.
No!
No! Hi, I'm Max. I'm Max. Oh, dirty from the start. That's disgusting. I'm Max. I'm British. Or English. Or from the UK.
Actually, either way.
Actually, someone asked me in a bar at the weekend.
Yeah.
Not that I should be in bars. You know, social distance and all that. Corona. But yeah, no, it's fine. Vaccine and all that. But somebody did ask me... They said, "Oh, you're British." I said, "Well, I'm English," and they asked me, "What's the difference?" So you're from the UK. I said, "Well, yeah." So what's the difference between the Britain and the UK? And honestly, I couldn't give him a correct answer. Probably. And there's another. My English friend also said they're the same. So we don't actually know.
It's just a name.
It is a name.
Yeah.
Welcome to this week's podcast.
Yes, where we tell each other's cultural histories.
We do stories about each other's cultural, historical background.
Yes.
If any of that made sense. It'll make sense. Or if you've listened before.
Welcome back.
Makes sense. Yeah. We've had some good ones recently, haven't we?
I know.
Some good
stories. My favorite, William Adams.
Yeah.
Love that.
That was a two-parter.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a lot of stories about samurais recently.
Oh, yeah, shoguns.
And yeah, shoguns and
Tsunayoshi.
Shoguns and samurais and all that. But it's not been run-of-the-mill stories.
No, no. It's like stories that people don't know about.
It's like a British samurai. That was a
first
good one.
First
foreign bloody samurai.
Yeah, not even the Portuguese could get into that.
Can I believe it? I can't believe it, folks. I'm not going to say for definite, but I think we've got a cracker this week.
I think it is.
Because you're going to be telling us a story
close to your heart.
Close to my heart. Yeah. Is it about bread?
No. The other thing that's close to your heart.
Heroin?
No, booze.
Booze? That is definitely close
but
to my
But before
heart.
We start, yes, I have a question.
Holy moly, yes.
You have to dig deep in your memories.
Ooh, and we know because the booze is very close to my heart, folks.
It's pretty bad.
So the memory is not what it once was.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. Tell me, hit me.
Okay, my question is, growing up, what was your... first, introduction to Japan?
I thought you were going to say your first introduction to booze.
No.
Okay.
First introduction to Japan, its culture, or maybe the first person you knew about that was from Japan?
Growing up, I have to say, growing up, as a child, I had no knowledge of Japan at all. Zero.
You said you watched the Transformers movie in the theaters.
Yeah, but even though, it's interesting because even as a British
English. How old Max is.
Yes. Growing up in the 1980s, folks, let me take you back. It was a dark and. What does Snoopy say?
A dark and stormy night.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Decade.
Good grief. And in the 80s. And even though I watched a lot of cartoons that were technically
Japanese,
they were made in Japan, Transformers.
Yeah.
Or, Willy Fogg.
Yeah, those kind of animations.
Dogtanyan.
Yeah.
All of that, maybe Ultron or whatever it was called. A lot of those sorts of
Cities of Gold?
Cities of Gold. They were co-produced in Spain, I think.
Or France.
Like European half productions.
Yeah.
So they were mega popular in the UK, but they were never really linked to Japan.
Mm, true.
Even the Transformers.
Well, like for me as well, I watched growing up like Princess Sarah. Do you know that?
Who the fuck is that?
Well, Princess Sarah is also like those kind of animations. SETI. Do you know SETI?
What are you talking about?
So I maybe they distributed different cartoons to different countries.
Well, I don't think the Philippines, where you're from,
yeah,
got the good stuff, if I'm honest.
Princess Sarah's pretty good.
That was like VHS bottom of the pile.
No, it's really popular. And the thing is, like, you never know it's from Japan because the animation was really different. And
is that code for shit?
No.
Okay.
They look the same as you, the ones you've grown up watching.
Yeah.
And but also they always dub it.
Ah, in
Tagalog.
In good old Tagalog.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. Yeah. Well, the cartoons that I watched as a kid obviously were all
English.
And seemed very English at the time. Cities of Gold, Dog Tanya and Willy Fogg, Jason the Wild Warriors, classics, Thundercats and all that. Absolute stormers.
Thundercats, was it Japanese?
Probably not. Oh. But it still was an awesome cartoon. I mean, Mask, that's clearly American, but He-Man, American. Yeah. Be that as it may,
G.I. Joe,
I had no knowledge of Japan or its culture until even video games with like Mario,
Super Mario, yeah. You never,
Sonic, didn't really, like Nintendo was obviously
Japanese.
And I guess when I was in like junior high school, maybe about 12, is when the 16-bit consoles started to come out in Japan. The Sega Mega Drive, Genesis in America, the Super Famicom.
Yeah.
And even before that, the 8-bit. And we had a bit of money at that time, me old family. You know, we had a bit of the old train robbery cash lying about in the gold mines. Mm-hmm. So I remember my mum, there was like a really dodgy like there was like a car garage that fixed cars, but in the garage shop was like an import video game
section
and they had like Japanese like Sega Master System and Sega Mega Drive, and you had to pay top dollar for it. But my parents, they got me the top when they first came out, and I was just the king of the street, the cream of the crop. I was the kiddie. I was Top Cat, basically.
Top Cat.
Not a Japanese cartoon.
No. Hanna-Barbera.
Hanna-Barbera.
Barbara.
Hanna and Barbara, wasn't it?
No.
No? Who's Barbera?
It's Jack, Hanna,
and Barbara.
And someone, Barbera.
Well, Barbara, anyway, and Top Cat. I was Top Cat. I had these Japanese. Then I knew that they were Japanese because I rubbed it in other kids' faces. Like, I have the latest shit. And everyone would come around my house to play on it. Mm. It was quite it was a popularity contest that I clearly won.
So, video games.
Video games.
Introduced you to?
Slightly. Yeah, and then I wasn't really that interested in it, Japanese culture, until a video company in the UK called Manga Entertainment.
Oh.
Yeah, it was called Manga Entertainment. It was a UK video distribution company. They started dubbing random anime to put it on VHS, and it was in all like HMV, not H&M, HMV in the early 90s, like 93, 94. And so I was into comics at the time, 2000 AD, well into that. I used to buy it every week, loved it. And then
you mean your gran used to buy that for you every week?
She did indeed, yeah. I still read it today. And yeah, that's an oldie. 2000 AD, check it out. Judge Dredd, you know it. Brilliant. Yeah. And so I saw the movie Akira. Akira.
I don't know that.
It's like one of the most famous anime movies of all time. You've never seen it?
No. Wow. But I think if I see it, I'll know what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. You'd recognize
it. Sounds familiar.
You'd recognize the poster.
Mm.
It's really famous. But I knew nothing about it. And suddenly there was, I just saw a VHS in HMV.
What's HMV?
Right? HMV?
I don't know. What is it?
They used to have it in Japan as well.
HMV?
Yeah.
What's it stand for?
Home Movies and Videos.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I think. They used to sell before the internet. This is before the internet.
Pre-internet.
You know, when things were simpler time.
Yeah.
They used to sell CDs, and before that, vinyl. Remember that?
I know vinyl.
Yeah, I used to buy my vinyl. We're going that far back.
Oh, geez.
And then CDs, bought CDs. And they had VHS floor. And I saw this movie, didn't know what it was. I thought, oh, that looks like the comic that I like.
Mm.
So I picked it up for like £10 or whatever. And it was awesome and completely violent and shouldn't be for kids. And then it kind of spread around my friends and everything. And then it was Manga Entertainment started to release like monthly new series and videos dubbed. Yeah,
but they never showed it on UK TV.
Never on TV.
Well, they showed it on Philippine TV.
There was never anything until like cable satellite.
Mm,
then
okay.
The Sci-Fi Channel started showing these videos that we'd already seen.
That's amazing because like in the Philippines, they showed it on local TV.
Yeah.
Like Saturday morning cartoons, they showed like anime.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and weirdly, in France, especially France and Germany, anime was a huge thing.
Mm.
But they dubbed it in French.
Yeah.
And it was just shown as cartoons in France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah.
And it was massive. Yeah. And yeah, I got into anime through that and then met other people who enjoyed it, and then there was a bit of a convention scene in the UK, and then video games, and then before you know it, I'm living here. Bloody hell.
Married to one.
Yeah, married one. What are the odds? So quite a weird route into it all.
Yeah
And it all came back round to the video games and the rhythm games, the dance games. Yeah. And in the end, I came on holiday here to play those games, to do the dance. We won't go into that right now.
Maybe another episode.
Yeah. Why I came
another
to Japan.
Time.
Yeah. But it's all through this stupid weeb Japanese culture. I have no interest in it anymore. I'm too much of a curmudgeon now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Saying that, we look around this room and I've got bloody dolls and...
You got Pan from Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Too much geek nerdy stuff.
Yeah, you should check out our house.
Not so good. Brilliant, in fact.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Yes. Good.
Yes.
Good question. I enjoyed that.
Good.
I enjoyed talking about myself.
Surprise, surprise.
I know. Where I'm from, myself.
What?
That's deep.
Oh. Is that the episode, where you're from?
Yeah.
Episode 900.
Yeah.
All about Max.
That was episode 12, I think. So.
Yes.
I hear you've got quite the topic for us.
I'm excited every week for the topics that I choose. I have this list. I have a list of podcast ideas, but then
Schindler's.
Are you gonna do that again this week?
I'm here to comment.
Well, I have my list, you know.
Oh, he told me his list.
You've seen my list.
Even worse than Schindler's, yeah.
Oh, you've seen my list.
Shopping list. I have not seen your list.
But you know I have a list.
I did not know you had a list.
No, I have a list here.
This mythical list.
I have it right here.
Yeah.
WYF podcast ideas.
So carrots,
checked
onions.
Off Daniel Lambert.
Jews.
Grey Friars Bobby. The divorce trial. Do you remember that divorce trial?
I do.
Yeah. The Madame Rachel.
I don't really. Yeah, I do.
Madame Rachel.
Yes, I remember
her.
Yeah,
I've checked it off. Checked it all off.
Check them off.
And then I still have some stuff left, but they're so daunting. Like, the topic is so big.
Two-parters.
Could be two-parters.
Yes.
Yeah. But then I found this little ditty.
P. Diddy.
This little ditty.
Okay. I'm excited. Hit me.
Shall we start?
Let's do it.
Music. So this is episode 24. I'm talking about London's gin craze.
God blimey.
Have you heard of this?
Well, I know a lot about the history of gin.
No.
Is it not?
You don't.
Are you not going back to the history of gin?
No.
Because it's very interesting.
I'll touch on it a little bit. What is the history of gin?
Well, the Victorians.
Well, what about the Victorians?
The Victorians drank gin more than water. In London.
Yeah, I'm going older than that.
Oh.
The gin craze was before that. Can you believe?
I don't think gin is originally from the UK.
No, it's not. Do you know where? You know who imported it?
Francis Drake.
No. What? No.
No?
No.
Oh.
So I got my information from Wiki, of course, historyextra.com, vice.com, and bbc.co.uk.
Sources.
Sources.
Yeah. Brown.
Brown.
Red.
White.
Gin.
Bechamel.
Gin.
So, what century do you think?
17th.
Close.
16th.
No.
18th?
Yes. Oh. So, the gin craze happened in the first half of the 18th century.
Okay.
So this gin craze, it was the period in which there was a very rapid increase of gin consumption in the UK, especially in London.
Yeah, sunny London.
Yes.
18th century, right?
18th.
Okay.
So we know that alcohol has been around a long time.
Since
before
the
that.
Beginning of time.
But in the UK,
yeah,
it started out as something that the rich could only afford. Of course.
Really?
Yeah. In the 1500s, only very, 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 very wealthy people started drinking alcohol for pleasure.
Oh, I thought, like, you know, moonshine was around since the dawn of time.
No. Is moonshine a thing in the UK?
Well, you know, the UK equivalent.
What is it?
Well, it's just whatever fermented alcohol you can make yourself.
Yes, but I think people did not drink it for pleasure.
Oh.
Before. And even 100 years later, in the 1600s, there was only one recorded bar in England that sold spirits.
So if people didn't drink it for pleasure, they drank it for
disinfection.
Displeasure?
Disinfection. Maybe medical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that they didn't know the,
you know, there was beer, there was ale, but no spirits were popular in the UK at that time.
Oh, okay. So and basically then, everyone was drinking ales at that time.
And then tea. And then so this recorded bar in the 1600s, it was just outside of London towards Barking.
Yep.
Where's that?
That's definitely around London. Outside of London.
Outside of London.
I'm going to say it's to the left.
To the left of
London.
To
the left of London. I see. Am I right?
I have no idea.
You didn't look?
I did not. It's not important.
I don't think barking is too important. Sorry if you live there.
Sorry.
Or you're from there.
Write to us.
Yeah. Call in.
Okay, so gin became wildly popular after William of Orange became King of England.
Ah.
So where is he from?
Holland.
Yeah, so that's where gin is from. It was called Genever.
Yeah.
Because it came from juniper berries.
That I know.
Yes. So he became King of England in 1689.
And he said, bring me my gin.
And he encouraged people to start their own distilleries.
Oh, good boy.
Yeah. So before gin became popular, the popular drink among the people was a French brandy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But the gin provided an alternative to it because Britain and France were fighty.
We hate the French.
Yeah, so there was like fighty. Political and religious conflict between Britain and France.
Ah, so yeah, the brandy was get out of here.
Yeah, no,
we don't want to drink your swill.
Like, poor France, because like, it's like in America, they changed the name of French fries to freedom fries.
Really?
Yeah, that was a thing. I forgot what the conflict was, but yeah. I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do call them chips in England. Never call them French fries. Only McDonald's are French fries.
Oh, really? If you go to Donald's?
If you go to Donald's or, you know, Burger King.
Yeah, fast food, like burger places.
Fast food. Thin, you know, French fries are French fries. Mm. Those are French fries, mate. Mm. But chips are chips.
Yeah.
Chips is chips. Very philosophical. I'm going quite deep in this episode, I've got to say.
Good for you. Oh. All right. Daniel Defoe, the author.
The movie star.
That's his grandson.
Green Goblin.
Yeah. So Daniel Defoe, the author of Robinson Crusoe.
Yes.
His comment about it was that the distillers have found out a way to hit the palate of the poor by their new-fashioned compound waters called Geneva, so that the common people seem not to value the French brandy as usual and even not desire it.
Interesting. Can I just say for the record, not a fan.
Of gin?
Of gin at all. I don't like it. I don't condone it.
Really?
No.
In university, we used to have a drink called gin pom.
Gin pom?
Yeah, it's gin and pomelo juice.
Mm.
That was a thing that would get you fucked up.
Yeah, it can be nice, but it's just the
gin itself.
It's just the image that it's got in the UK.
In the UK, it's got like a. During this time, it was like a woman's drink. They call
it still
Mother's
is.
Delight.
They call it Mother's Ruin, don't they? But
and Mother's Ruin, yeah.
Yeah.
Mother's Ruin, Lady's Delight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mother's Ruin.
Mother Geneva.
Yeah.
Lady Geneva, something.
It's still called Mother's Ruin now.
Well, that's...
People call it that.
That came from this time.
I say now, but I mean back in the 90s. But yeah. But, and it's always had an image of being like a, you know, middle class white ladies beverage.
Well, there's a reason why. Well, okay, let me continue.
Okay.
And so gin was the drink of choice of the Dutch at the time, and they were originally imported from Holland. But this gin was not quite the same as the gin that was distilled in London. Yeah, Well, it's J-E-N-E-V-E-R.
Jennifer.
Was weaker.
Oh,
you know, the thing from Holland was weaker, and London gin was known to be twice as strong.
So what are we looking at for London gin?
Well, Geneva was 40%.
Which is kind of the standard now.
Yeah. London gin, 80%.
Bloody hell. So moonshine.
Basically. I mean, people were given like a free-for-all to just do whatever they want with
yeah.
it. Yeah. English distillers would lace their concoctions with turpentine, spirit, and sulfuric acid. To give it a kick.
Not a good mixer, but it does give you a bit of a kick in the bollocks.
It was so strong that stories about drinking dens and gin shop regulars going blind was not uncommon.
Still a myth today.
Yeah.
If you drink too much gin,
you'll go blind.
Yeah. Mother's ruin.
It all stemmed from this era.
Yeah.
There was an infamous sign above these establishments that read, "Drunk for a penny, dead drunk for two pennies, clean straw for nothing."
Ah. So that's actually a term, a dead drunk.
Mm.
You know, oh, he's dead drunk.
Mm.
So it must come from that.
Well, there was a guy who they bet that he couldn't drink like this many pints of gin and he died.
Pints of gin.
I will get to that.
Please do.
So that saying, drunk for a penny, dead drunk for two pennies, clean straw for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was assumed that the sign meant that after consuming more than two pennies worth of gin, you'd be so wankered that all you could do was black out on a bed of straw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you use the term wankered.
Oh, yeah.
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 That makes me so happy. And if you don't know, folks, wankered.
Drunk. Just, so drunk.
Just mean blind.
Very drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Pissed.
I got fucking wankered last night.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how, you may ask, did the government encourage gin drinking?
How? I did ask.
Did you?
How? No, now. I'm asking. Now.
Well, the only thing that the government could really do is they reduced taxes on gin, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also, they said that no licenses were needed to make spirits. Do whatever you want. I think I read somewhere.
Free for all.
I wrote it. It was basically a free for all.
Nice.
But also, I read somewhere.
Yep.
I didn't write it down, but like around this time, one in five houses in London was a gin distillery.
Why not? You just need some turpentine.
And a tub.
Yeah, bathtub. You're away. Yeah, just go down your Home Depot.
And at this time as well, prices of food dropped and people were earning more money than before.
Okay.
So this perfect storm of more money plus cheap gin.
Plus bathtubs. Yeah.
Catapulted 18th century London into a gin craze.
Gin craze.
Yes. And the other thing as well that why they pushed gin so much is because gin was a fairly new thing in England.
Mm.
So there were no rules established as to who could drink it, when they could drink it, and how much you could drink.
Ah.
Yeah, because
there was no culture.
There was no culture like
around it.
Like, you can't drink gin in the morning.
No.
No one said that.
No, like for like beer and ales, it's like, you know, it's got to be 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It became associated with women quickly because men had their beer and ale.
Oh.
But women couldn't drink as much beer as the men because of social norms. Like, if you were a lady and you drank as much beer as a guy,
yeah,
you'd be kicked out of town.
Well, you've got to say that those social norms were still present, like, until quite recently.
Mm.
You know, 90s, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Like, you 80s, don't expect 90s. Ladies. That's why you got, like, cocktails for ladies and stuff.
Well, it was, you know, it was a beer for the gents.
Mm.
And it was a glass
Pimms?
Glass of white wine for the ladies.
Oh. Who drank Pimms?
Everyone could drink Pimms.
I drink Pimms.
You definitely drink Pimms.
I like Pimms.
Pimms is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's always been, beer for the men until, obviously, the
craft beer,
the gender roles of alcohol, etc.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gin, on the other hand, was exotic and Ooh. Metropolitan.
Ooh la la.
And didn't have any rules associated with it.
Ah.
As to the quantity of gin that people drank, some places even served it in pint glasses because that's what they drank alcohol from. Pints of gin.
Pints of gin sounds absolutely horrific.
Cannot.
Now it sounds horrific at 40%.
Yeah.
We're talking about 80%.
Turpentine and sulfuric acid.
Pints. Mm. So, like, half a pint of that and you black out.
Yeah.
You black out.
Yeah, and then you wake up again and you drink some more.
Well, you think about it, because a pint is, you know, like half a litre.
Yeah.
Ish. Just over. Half a litre, 500 mils. So, and a bottle of spirits. A bottle of gin now.
Yeah.
Is 750 mils.
Yeah.
Approximately.
Yeah.
750 mils,
so
I think.
So you're drinking.
And which is 40%, 750 mils. So you're drinking 2/3 of a bottle of gin, but then it's double.
Twice as strong.
So one pint would be more than a bottle of gin now.
Yeah, and they drank that.
And normally, if you drink a bottle of gin now, you're getting your stomach pumped.
Mm.
You know.
How did they do that?
Didn't have much else to do, did they?
It's true.
Yeah.
No
internet.
No.
They
had Daniel Defoe's Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah, they could read that over and over again. They passed the one copy round the neighborhood. My turn.
My
turn, Gav.
So this one like all happened like from the 1700s.
Yeah.
So by the 1730s,
yeah,
there were some 1,500 distilleries in London alone.
Wow.
Most of them home-based.
Yeah.
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 They even advertised gin as an aphrodisiac.
Yeah, I'm sure they advertised it as everything, didn't they?
And they advertised it as medicinal, specifically as a cure for the people's terrible addiction to tea.
Well, it kind of is.
Yeah, it stops you from drinking tea.
Well, if you're drinking gin, you don't drink tea, yeah. You're not thirsty. Mm. And you black out as well.
And then during this time as well, London's population swelled. Everybody was moving to the big city.
Oh, I thought because everybody was...
getting fat?
No, everyone was having sex.
Oh, no,
because they were drunk on gin.
No. People moved from all over England to London.
Everyone wanted a bit of gin.
Bit of gin and bit of like... you know, the dream.
Ah.
Yeah.
So gin is kind of like the...
golden ticket.
Well, it's kind of like the English gold rush,
I guess.
You know, everyone moved to San Francisco and everything.
Yeah. Gold California. Rush.
Yeah, in America. You know, gotta make my riches. Mm. Yeehaw. But everyone in the UK was like, gotta get wankered on me gin. Still in an American accent. Is that the Shogun at the door?
The Shogun, Mr. Tuna.
Tuna Yoshi.
Hi.
The Shogun.
All right. So this time, London's population... oh, hello. Sorry, guys. London's population... put your mic to him. Maybe hear him panting. Tuna, you want to say hello?
He tried to say hello. He doesn't like the spotlight.
No.
All right. He's gone. Go.
Bye. So, at this time, London's population reached to 600,000 at one point.
So, it really swelled.
By comparison, there were only two other towns in England with populations of 20,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that time, in the 17th century...
18th.
18th century then as well... 18th century, I mean, London was a lot smaller as well. What was considered
yeah, London,
the boundaries of London,
yeah,
was a lot smaller. So quite a lot of people crammed in.
Oh, yeah. Mm. You got a lot of homeless people.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
So most of these people were, of course, working class.
Yeah.
But it didn't mean that they found a golden ticket by moving to London. No. No? They were still struggling to survive.
Yeah.
And, yes.
Now they were just in an overcrowded, drunk squalor.
Yeah. Hmm. Just, yeah. Yeah. They had no money, couldn't eat. And what little money they had, they bought gin to drown their sorrows.
Ah, why wouldn't you? Although I'd prefer a beer, to be honest. But.
Thomas Fielding.
Who's that?
He's a social historian of the time.
Oh.
He had a pamphlet. Kind of pamphlet.
Yeah.
He wrote a pamphlet.
In history, there's a lot of talk about pamphlets.
Yeah.
People never write a book.
Because pamphlets are easier to mass produce.
On bottles of gin.
Maybe stuck them on. Well, he said...
Message in a bottle.
Ooh. Message in a bottle.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
So he said in his pamphlet...
I like the word pamphlet.
It's cute.
Yeah.
A new kind of drunkenness, unknown to our ancestors, is lately sprung up among us, and which, if not put a stop to, will infallibly destroy a great part of the inferior people. He called poor people inferior people.
Now.
I'm not done yet.
I do know about this type of drunkenness. But carry on, yes.
The drunkenness I here intend is by this poison called gin. The principal sustenance, if it may be so called, of more than 100,000 people in this metropolis.
Yeah.
So people were just, yeah, you had a little money, bought gin instead of eating.
You had no money, you made gin.
You made gin, or they would literally sell the shirt off their back to buy gin.
For a pint of gin.
Because at that time, cloth was highly sought after.
Ah.
So literally, that's where the saying comes from, the shirt off his back.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Would, and they would just buy gin.
Yeah. Mm. Ah, we've had a few origin stories today. That's good.
I don't know why. Not very known this era. Well, not to you.
18th century.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it confused with the 17th century.
That's close enough.
I don't know why. Mm. Yeah. Do you know who the king around that time? It's a William guy, right?
Yeah, the Dutch guy.
Yeah, I just remembered. But I'm just thinking of the other, you know, the other monarchs around that era. You know, Charles, was that around then? Don't know, but carry on.
Okay. Now this is sad. You know, gin, when you're drunk, off your tits.
Yeah.
Makes you do horrible stuff.
You could say that about any alcohol.
True, because you've done horrible stuff.
Never.
Oh, the stories I could... There's one story I know you really don't want me to tell.
There are no stories that are secret.
Can I say this story then?
Depends what it is. You're making me to look like quite the drunkard here.
Well, of course, sorry. But no, seriously.
I traveled back in time to the 18th century when I drank too much gin.
No. Do you want me to say it? One of the most horrible things you've done?
I guess.
Yeah?
I guess.
Yeah?
Go on then.
You peed in the kitchen.
That is libelous. Defamation of character right there.
No.
I think you meant I'm a lovely, responsible...
Most of the time you
human
are.
...human being.
But sometimes you're not.
When I have too much gin.
Yeah.
I don't drink gin.
So, back to this.
Didn't happen. Maybe.
One of the saddest stories I ever read about is about this unmarried mother named Judith Dufour.
Know her well.
In 1734, she left her two-year-old child. I couldn't pinpoint the gender because different sources said either boy or girl.
Okay.
But she left her two-year-old child at a workhouse.
Yeah.
You know what a workhouse
is? Yeah, I know what a workhouse is. Do you want to say what the workhouse
is basically like indentured slavery. You live there, you work there.
Yeah, it's slavery, but it's like a factory where you can live,
eat.
You're guaranteed shelter and food for you and your family, but you have to basically work nonstop.
Yeah,
and in horrible conditions.
Yeah, your living conditions are also horrible.
It's a last choice if you're homeless and you've got nothing.
Yeah. And then the people in the workhouse dressed the toddler in new clothes.
Okay.
Then Judith came back to claim the child again, and they said it was through the convincing of her friend, a horrible person named Suki.
Suki?
Yeah.
Terrible Gilmore Girls character.
Well, she strangled her baby.
Huh?
Left the body in the ditch and sold the new clothes for 16 pence to buy gin.
Couldn't she have kept the baby and sold the clothes?
She was drunk. Because before she did that, she was on a drinking spree with her friend, Suki.
Now, if there's ever a story that's going to stop me from getting too drunk, killing your baby. Taking its clothes.
Yeah.
Selling it for 16p.
To buy gin.
And 16p is not going to get you much.
At that time, probably can get you...
Well, of course, at that time. Now,
It's
not going to get you much, 16p. Having said that, the clothes shops in Japan that you sell your clothes to, they'll give you about 16p.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually true.
You can bring a suitcase of clothes and they'll give you...
10 yen an item.
Yeah.
What's that, a Chanel shrug?
But it's sad, right?
It's very sad.
She was executed. They found out.
Bloody hell.
Mm.
That's also quite sad.
Mm.
It's really sad, the whole thing.
I know. Because...
Just the alcohol, just no matter what era, it's just getting hold of people, ruining people's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a handle.
A what?
A handle on the alcohol, don't you worry.
I know you do.
It's not ruining Tuna's life.
No, it's not.
Kind of is.
How?
Because I muzzle him too much when I come home after a few too many.
Yeah, you show him too much love.
Yeah, and strangle him.
But yeah, that's the worst.
That was sad. Yeah.
And during the height of the gin craze, William Hogarth.
Yes.
A social commentator and artist.
So many social commentators.
I know.
Yeah.
Because it's the gin craze.
Damn it.
He made two engravings.
On a bottle of gin?
No. Contrasting beer and gin.
There's quite a contrast.
He called it Beer Street and Gin Lane.
Fuck.
And we'll post a picture of it on our Instagram.
Yeah.
In the Gin Lane engraving, people are seen miserable and out of control. In the middle of the engraving is a very drunk mother sitting on some steps and her child just falling over the railing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't write the rest of this, but there was like a guy fighting over a bone with his dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was Gin Lane. Oh. Like miserable. Don't do it.
Crazy street.
And in contrast, William Hogarth showed the people on Beer Street as happy, plump people who are enjoying beer.
Like me.
Like you.
Yeah.
Plump.
I'm a happy, plump person enjoying beer.
Yeah, so that was his social commentary where, like, drink beer instead of gin. Gin will ruin your life.
And it still has this image today.
Mm. Homeless people drink gin.
I think so.
What did you say that the whiskey that they drink?
The Scotch.
The Scotch.
Yeah. Which I've got two bottles of right here.
No, what brand? There was a specific brand you told me. Teachers?
Teachers?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple, but yeah, Teachers is definitely one of them.
I would think, like, you know, in here in Japan, you know those one cup?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Nihonshu.
The sake.
The sake.
Yeah.
They're like gin, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're homeless people. Yeah. 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 I mean, if you're going out for if you're partying.
Because here, like, gin is made from grain. Sake is.
Yeah, they're all made from the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, so it's vodka, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess that's potatoes. What is a spirit.
By 1743.
Yes.
Yeah, we're 43 years into this gin craze.
Bloody hell.
England was drinking 10 liters of gin per person per year.
Ooh, that's quite a lot. At 80%, that's quite a lot. Yeah.
And as the levels of consumptions kept on increasing, the government started a campaign for more effective legislation against gin.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. And then so the parliament started passing like major gin acts to control the consumption of gin from 1729, actually.
Okay.
But they just kept like not working. And there was one, it's called the Puss and Mew Machine.
What the hell is that?
Mozzie. I didn't get it.
Okay.
So a way for some gin sellers to avoid being charged for selling gin without a license was the Puss in Boots. Puss and Mew Machine. So a gin seller would find a window in an alley that was far from the building's front door, so off the main street.
Right.
They then would place a wooden cat on that window, like it's like a board. A wooden cat, like it's kind of 3D a little bit. It's not completely flat.
Yeah.
And then the gin enthusiast.
Yes.
would then approach the cat and say, "Puss, give me 2 pennies worth of gin."
Yeah. And so then, the puss is like the bartender.
Yeah. And then.
And he went,
meow. And then. And then place their
Top
money.
Cat. Ooh.
What? That's DuckTales.
Yeah. Top cat. Ooh.
Then place the money into the cat's mouth.
What right? The hell?
So the mouth had an opening. So you put the money in there. And then the coins would then slide down towards the gin seller inside the building.
Yeah.
Who would then pour the gin down a lead pipe that emerged under the cat's paw.
Right. Yeah.
And there was some that was, it came out of the cat's tail. The lead pipe was the cat's tail.
Ooh, sneaky.
Yeah.
Was there a glass or a cup involved?
Now, I don't know
yeah.
if the customer had their own glass or drank from the pipe. I don't know.
I can imagine they had like a tin.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But
your gin tin.
If they drank like directly from gin the tin. Pipe,
yep.
it just disease city.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And when I was reading this, it reminded me of the penny lick ice cream. Do you know the penny licks?
No, I don't.
Oh.
What's that?
Okay, quick side story then.
Okay.
So a penny lick is actually a glass that ice cream sellers used to carry with them. And then people would buy a penny worth of ice cream, and then he'd scoop it. The customer would get it, eat from it, or just take the ice cream,
yeah,
and then give it back to the seller.
Penny lick.
Penny lick. But the problem was, the seller,
yeah,
most of the time did not wash in between customers.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, so I think that spread cholera, and yeah. That's a penny lick.
Penny lick, but the gin cat.
The gin cat. Puss and Mew.
Puss and Mew.
Yeah.
So were there any big diseases at that time, like, going on?
I think it's the same, like cholera.
Just general.
General disease.
Yeah, kind of been good.
Yeah.
Whatever was going on, if your gin's coming down a little drain pipe.
A little lead pipe.
In filthy 18th century London.
Yeah. In an alley.
In a back alley.
Yeah, where people probably pooped and pissed.
Yeah, chimney sweeps. Ooh. Very dusty.
Yeah.
Very dusty.
And I doubt
Oliver
any,
Twist.
I doubt anybody cleaned it.
No one's cleaning.
But at
anything,
least like
then.
Gin is like a disinfectant, I guess. It's alcohol.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So maybe they could just drink straight from anything.
Because it's disinfecting.
And they instantly got the cholera, but then cured themselves.
Yeah.
Within a second. Interesting.
Well, there were 5 major acts passed during the gin craze, and each time they would pass an act, people would riot.
Whoa.
They were like, go into the streets and say, no gin, no king, no gin, no king. Yeah.
They had a problem. Big problem.
Yeah. So it wasn't until the last gin act of 1751...
So this craze has been going on like 50,
half a century.
50 bloody years, yeah.
So after the Gin Act of 1751, gin consumption started to go down.
Right, what happened?
Well, the act prohibited gin distillers from selling to unlicensed merchants, restricted retail licenses to substantial property holders, and charged high fees to those merchants eligible for retail licenses. Basically, just up the tax.
Yeah. Tax.
Yeah.
But actually a good tax by the sound of it.
Working.
Yeah.
And then the import of tea was also encouraged to serve as an alternative to gin.
Don't touch my tea, man.
Triple question marks from me. Alternative to gin?
Tea?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tea. I mean, I'll be honest. I'll take a tea over gin any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. And also men were encouraged to go back to drinking beer.
Yep. Gin for the ladies.
And historians have said, though, that maybe it wasn't the Gin Act of 1751 that decreased gin consumption, but because the rising cost of grain.
I see.
Yeah, food prices started rising and people did not have their disposable income for gin anymore.
No.
Gin and
so, was a luxury.
Yeah, 1751... It started going down, but as you said, in the Victorian era,
yes,
it came back up again.
Yeah,
like in the 1840s.
Yeah, which that's a really like well known factoid.
Yeah, because you know why? Because during that time, like a second wave of gin.
Yeah,
they made gin palaces. You heard of that?
I've heard of them. Yeah,
gin palaces.
And I'm sure I've learned about them, but please do refresh.
I didn't really go into that.
Gin palaces.
Well, it's basically places where you can drink gin.
Yeah, so just like a bar.
A pub.
Yeah.
And most gin palaces now, but they like focused on gin.
Yeah.
But most of them now are like just, you know, regular pubs.
Okay.
This is for the elite as well.
Only the elite could drink at a gin palace.
You'd be very up there if you drink gin.
I always have an image of these 18th century ladies with a big feathery boas.
Hats.
And boas.
Boas go around your neck.
I know, but I'm touching a hat.
I know.
Imagine
that's why
hat.
It confused me.
Well, I've got quite a vivid imagination. But you get what I'm saying. My image of like well-to-do fancy ladies.
Yeah, and also that time, like, they introduced, like, smaller glasses for the ladies, you know, to drink gin from.
Which
makes you look, like, cute and chic.
Which was actually a really good idea.
Yeah, from the pints.
Stop drinking pints of bloody gin, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, gin's back, weaker, and it's kind of more like a hipster thing now. Like, they're adding flavors and stuff in London, yeah.
Well, right now, there's actually a craft gin boom right now.
That's why, yeah.
Which is just bullshit, in my opinion. Absolute billy bollocks, mate. Nah. Craft beer, yeah, I can dig. I can get down with that. Not a big fan. I do like my Stellas and my lagers.
Yeah, Peronis. Yeah.
I'm a middle-aged man. I have no time for this young people's nonsense. But now there's craft gin, even in Japan. Craft gin, drink it out of a jug.
Yeah.
Or a can of bay beans.
Or from a cat.
Or from a cat, yeah. Maneki Neko.
Let's make it a Puss and Mew gin.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What, Maneki Neko?
Maneki Neko gin.
Maneki Neko.
Maneki Neko gin.
Yeah. You all know what that is, I'm sure, listeners.
Yeah. It's a lucky cat.
The lucky Japanese cat. Mm. Is it Chinese? Is it Japanese?
Japanese.
It's probably Chinese originally. Japan steals everything. But yeah, with the cat.
Craft gin. Yeah, what do you think? Gin craze. Interesting, no?
Yeah, I didn't know anything about the gin craze. Yeah, the 50-year-long gin craze. I knew about the Victorians loving their gin. And that, you know, it was, you know, cheaper than water.
Yeah.
So people drank it more out of necessity.
To stay hydrated? Wouldn't it like dehydrate you?
You gotta drink something. Because the water was so filthy.
I know.
So, and the Thames was just an absolute disaster before they invented the sewage and all that. I can't remember the name of the guy that sorted that out. But
maybe I'll talk about him.
Oliver Cromwell? No.
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 Someone I don't know.
Like Darwin? Not him. No. But someone sorted the Thames and the sewers out. But before then,
it was John Sewage.
Yeah, who was a brother of John Sandwich and John Wellington Boots. Real fact.
John Toilet.
Yeah. Ah, interesting to know where gin came from. From
or
the
where
Dutch.
Where you got like all of those sayings about gin.
Yeah, Mother's Ruin, all of that sort of thing.
Oh, another fun fact. When every time that they would also pass a gin act, people would hold funerals for Mother Geneva. They would hold funerals. They were that insane.
Yeah.
Funerals.
Well, to be fair, when the price of Sapporo goes up here, I hold a funeral.
Yeah, that's the London gin craze.
That's very cool. You've got to think that there's a story like that. There's got to be a story like that behind all spirits. You know, obviously vodka is from Russia.
Yeah.
You know, now we know that brandy was French.
Yeah.
Came from the French.
Yeah.
Still not a popular drink.
Brandy.
No.
Popular name.
Well, if you're a rapper in the 90s.
Singer.
Was she a singer? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about the rapper.
Brandy?
Yeah. You know him?
I know Genuine.
God.
Wine.
Damn, you're showing your age.
I'm showing who I'm married to.
Well, I'm going to have a glass of, what have I got there?
From Waitrose.
Scotch.
From Waitrose.
I've got a bottle of Waitrose Scotch. And the only reason I bought that in Japan was because it had the Waitrose.
Yeah.
Sticker on it.
There was just that one supermarket that sold Waitrose.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, had to buy it. And I've got a bottle of Clooney Scotch because I bought it when I was drunk.
That was George Clooney's.
And I thought, that's funny. It's George Clooney's Scotch.
It's not even spelled the same.
I know. But I thought it was funny when I had a few too many beers. How about tequila? Can you do a episode on tequila?
What, from Mexico?
Yeah, where I'm from. 10% Mexican.
God.
Yeah. I could do an episode on sake, nihonshu.
Why don't you do an episode on lambanog?
You
look offended.
I'm disgusted by that. Lambanog?
Or tuba.
No thanks.
You should do it. Like, it's coconut liqueur from the Philippines.
I'll do it if you say it anything like normally. Liqueur.
Coconut liqueur.
Liqueur. Liqueur. Yeah. Is that correct? Yeah. Oh my goodness. But yeah, nice one. That was a good one. I enjoyed it.
Yep.
I enjoyed it very much.
You know, when I wrote this topic down, I put in parentheses, do it on Max's birthday week.
Too late.
Yeah, because I did a two-parter, you got sick, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But we're back to...
We're back.
To trying to do a regular schedule.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying it.
Yes.
So please, catch us on Spotify.
On Spotify?
And
are we there?
Anchor. Yeah, that's where I listen to us.
Where else are we?
Anchor, the Apple Podcasts.
Sainsbury's?
Sainsbury's, Aldi.
Yeah.
Waitrose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on Instagram.
Where?
WYF History Podcast.
Ah, nice, nice, nice.
Yes.
Excellent. Yes.
Should we start a TikTok?
Listen, follow. We're not going to start a TikTok. What are you going to put on the TikTok? Just you drinking gin? Doing a little dance. I'm drinking gin. I'm drinking gin. Look at me drinking gin. That's my image of TikTok.
Oh my gosh.
I'm way too old for that nonsense. I'm only 41, but...
Yeah.
Only.
Only.
Yeah. How old are you?
Me?
How old are you, my wife?
35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
35. You see, I'm married young.
I'm married old.
Yeah. But you did marry a first world Britonner.
Who, honestly, I have a better educational background than.
What?
Better life growing up.
Better IQ.
Better health.
Oh, definitely better health, yeah. If I make it to 45, it'll be a miracle.
Stop drinking gin.
Luckily, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to have a beer now, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a water.
It looks more like gin to me. Bottle of gin. Shall we cut it?
Yeah.
Yes, I got one thing to say.
What?
Come on, England.
We're not sleeping tonight.
It's the semi-finals of the Euros tonight. England against?
Denmark.
You've got it. Yes. Kick off at 4 a.m. our time.
Yeah.
It's now about 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Yes, so...
Are you going to sleep?
Ooh, I'm too nervous to go to sleep.
Okay, so we shall... Yeah. I can stay up late because I don't have work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Although I might snooze. But right, yeah.
Okay. Bye, yeah. Everybody.
Okay, see you next week.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.